Continuing our series of shiurim on issues relating to the Beit HaKnesset, so I want to today discuss the question of where the bima should be placed in the Beit HaKnesset. We're generally familiar with a bima being in the centre of the shul, but that's not always the case. And this is a point which is actually discussed by the Poskim, certainly in the course of the past couple of hundred years, for reasons that we'll discover in a moment. So the Rambam, in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchot Tefillah Halacha Gimel, says that the bima should be placed in the middle of the shul, and the reason for this is so that people can hear when the Torah is being read, or when the rabbi or officiant is standing on the bima and wants to make his voice heard to the people. And the Rama in the Shulchan Aruch Simon Kuf Nun Seif Hay paskens that way, that the bima should go in the centre of the shul. It's notable that the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention anything about the placement of the bima. And this is presumably because in his commentary on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, he says that in actual fact it's not critical that the bima goes in the centre of the shul, because it's all dependent on it being able or enabling people to hear the laning and the drasha clearly. So he says in a small shul, you can actually have the bima towards the back of the shul, and that way still everybody will be able to hear, and that's going to be fine. In actual fact, this is the minhag in certain Sephardi synagogues, that the bima is at the back of the shul, and so long as it's placed in such a way that everybody can hear, that's going to be all right. However, about 200 years ago, at the time of the founding of the Reform movement, one of the early things that was changed in Reform temples was moving the bima from the centre of the shul to the front of the shul, to be in front of the Aron HaKodesh, obviously to look in some way akin to a church, where you have the altar, the table at the front of the front of the sanctuary. And this caused much objections in many quarters, because this was aping non-Jewish practices and going against traditional Jewish practices. The Chatam Sofer, who was a staunch opponent of the Reform, in a tshuva in Simon Kaf Chet, he speaks about the importance of having the bima at the front of the synagogue, sorry, at the middle of the synagogue, and he suggests a reason to have it in the middle of the shul is because the Mizbeach in the Beit HaMikdash was in the centre, and that enabled everybody to walk around it with their Arba Minim on Sukkot, with their Lulav and their Aravot on Sukkot. And a shul is meant to represent the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore to parallel that, we have the bima in the centre. If you look in the Bior Halacha on the Shulchan Aruch, he makes the observation that yes, there are nowadays, in his day, this was writing over 100 years ago, as there were some communities where they were trying to move the bima to the front, and the reason why they're doing it, moving it to the front, is because they want to be like the Gentiles, and one should apply to them the pasuk from Hoshea, Vayishkach Yisrael et Oseu Vayiven Heichalot, that the Jewish people have forgotten their creator and they have built temples, and obviously we don't want to do that. A question comes up though, some Orthodox shuls, for a whole variety of reasons, either architectural reasons or historical reasons, have the bima at the front of the synagogue. And is it permissible to daven in such a shul? So Rav Moshe Feinstein in Egrot Moshe, Orach Chaim, Chelek Bet, Simon Mem Aleph and Mem Bet has tshuvot on this subject. And he says it's definitely correct that the bima should be in the centre of the shul, as the Rambam says. And he says he's heard that some people say you mustn't daven in a shul which has the bima at the front. But he doesn't think that's correct. He said even if anybody ever said that, that was a horat sha'a, that was an ad hoc measure for extenuating circumstances in the 19th century in Hungary and Germany, but it was never meant to be a lasting ban on davening in such places, and therefore on an ad hoc basis, also it'd be clear, if there's a shul which is like that, then you're certainly allowed to daven there. However, Diane Weiss in Minchat Yitzchak Chelek Gimel Simon Dalet takes a much more hardline view on this, and He says that one who does move the bimah is transgressing the notion of al titosh torati mecha, not to abandon the practices of our mothers, our ancestors. He makes reference to the letter of 100 Hungarian rabbis written in 1865, forbidding entrance to a shul which has the bimah at the front, and says there's no they issue it as a blanket to ban. They don't say that it's dependent on time or place, and he says that one's not under any circumstances allowed to daven in such a synagogue, and that one's not allowed to act as a chazan or a rabbi in such a synagogue, and even if one is already functioning as a chazan or a rabbi in such a synagogue, one has to resign one's position rather than continuing in such a synagogue. It may be that the difference in approach between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Mincha Yitzchak is based on just the ways that they saw the reform movement in the 1950s, 1960s, that sort of era, and whether they perceived that shuls which were moving the bimah were really trying to do it in order to be, practice chukat hagoy, or whether it was, just for other reasons as well, and how much of a threat it was. It's interesting because I would have thought that Rav Moshe Feinstein in America in the 1950s, 1960s would have been very concerned about communities adopting reform practices. But he doesn't seem to be too concerned. Recently, somebody told me that they were attending in Israel an outdoor minyan during the coronavirus, and when it came to Kriyat HaTorah, the table was placed at the front of the minyan, and the Baal Kriya stood facing everybody. It was a spread out minyan, it was outside, so he wanted to make sure that they could that he could be heard clearly. This person told me that he left the minyan and went home. I disagreed with him. I felt that that was a wrong approach, an unnecessary approach. That's firstly, I'm more convinced by what Rav Moshe Feinstein says on this issue, that I think that shuls that have a bimah at the front are not necessarily trying to ape reform or Christian practices, not if it's remained an Orthodox shul. But certainly in an ad hoc outdoor minyan, where the reason for doing this is very, very clear, and it was alongside the shul where the bimah is in the normal middle place, in any event, it didn't seem to me that there should be any need not to stay for the remainder of the tefillah. Ad kan.